Good afternoon, this is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are broadcasting to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where it is August, actually it's the 5th today. We will be airing this show probably on August 7th. I am here with Michael Much, who is the current owner and publisher of Minnesota Preps, which is part of the Yahoo Rivals network. And, Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, Stephen. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are more than welcome. I tell you, I have heard a few stories. You know, my son is involved with the basketball community, and Brian Sandifer from Grassroots Hoops, and he always talked about this guy named Michael that took pictures. And
it is the community.
It is, and he'd always talk to me, and he'd look at the I'm like, those are cool pictures. And so he forwarded over to me your probably one of your first websites, you know, with your sports photography business. And I always knew you were a real techie based on the name of that website, because it doesn't have no marketing short-term quick thought type thing to it. So kind of give us a little bit of a history, you know, of your wandering through the world of high school sports in Minnesota.
All right. Yahoo and Rivals is the largest in terms of traffic and hits on high school and college sports and professional sports at the Yahoo level. Rivals has been a brand for a long, long time, early on in the internet, that's been on subscription basis and made money. Yahoo bought Rivals about 5 years ago for $98 million. I became part of the Rivals network about 6 years ago. My son was playing high school basketball at Champlin Park, and I started taking pictures and posting them on the existing Minnesota Preps. I started doing interviews and making my ideas known on Minnesota Preps. When my son graduated, they asked me if I would write for them, and I said, no, I've had my own business for 30 years. Make me a partner. So they made me a partner, and 2 years later, I bought out the owner, and it's been mine since then, and I love it.
It's funny because we had talked a little bit off air, and you have built your brand in a very non-Teflon fashion, if that's the right way to put it. You actually, for all our listeners, you have to go to Minnesota Preps. It's MinnesotaPreps with an S.com. And you have to look at Michael's picture, because whatever you think of as far as this young, swashbuckling John Calipari lookalike, you will find out that Michael does not look like John Calipari.
I'm not the typical sports journalist. I did a story with a player a couple weeks ago, Ricardo Johnson III, over at Crete and Durham Hall, and he has a blog, and he put a note on there. He was talking about people who have helped him and who are resources in the community, and he goes, you need to get to know Michael J. Much. He may look like he's from the Grateful Dead, but he knows about computers, sports, and technology. Give him a call. And that's an adjustment for people. They're not used to that.
Exactly. So you got to tell me you're 6'10", though, too, right?
No. If I was 6'10", that would help. My son's 6'4", and that makes a difference. And we're partners in business now, and that helps.
Okay, cool. Because it is fun, because that is one of the things that we have a mutual friend. That's how I got in touch with Michael, is Brian Sandifer through the Grassroots Hoops. And it has been kind of I've watched on the sidelines for probably a year and a half or so. And I reached out to Michael. He was very open to coming on the show today, because I really want to get to, because I think the biggest part I wanted to come to is that you have a unique perspective of being, of wandering through this world of high school sports and seeing kids come up through the ages. And somewhere along the line, you've seen things that have worked and you've seen things that have not worked so well. if you were a high school athlete and wanted to give three or four things that these are the, let's say, let's do two, three things that I would do and two, three things that I would not do, what would you share with kids?
First thing is the thing that gets paid the least attention to, and that's grades. Keep at least a B average. If you can do better than that, that's great. The NCAA is bumping up the standards every year, and the biggest kid physically, the strongest kid physically, if he doesn't have grades, won't play Division I ball. So number one is pay attention to grades. Parents, have your kids pay attention to grades, and find a coaching and a school and counselors who will be aware that your kid has a special talent and that sports, but that he needs support. And if kids get that support and get those grades, that'll probably be another 20% of kids who could play that get to play. So I'd say that's number one. And then after that, if you start looking around, I looked at the Rivals listing for offensive linemen the other day, the top 15 in the country, and the offensive linemen, the average weight of top Rivals 15 is about 295. The average height is about 6'6". I looked at defensive linemen, the average height is about 6'4". The average weight is about 285. If you want to play at the top level, coaches aren't even going to look at you for the top programs unless you meet those height and weight requirements. It's kind of like a reverse sieve that sifts out the big guys and sifts out the strong guys. And then the next thing they'll look at is speed and agility. The people that play at the highest level are the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, and the smartest. And it kind of, it's an upside-down pyramid that descends down to a point from there. And if you want to be at the bottom of the pyramid, have terrible grades.
Whether you're at the top or not. Because it's almost like, it's funny because as I've gotten further along in this, it literally is outliers physically that they're looking for, and that gets in right out the bat. I mean, you haven't even talked about an ability to play football yet or an ability to play basketball. It's do you have the tools physically and mentally to even compete? I mean, not even to compete. You have the physical and mental tools before you even get started, I suppose.
Yeah, what's happened is, you know, like everything in our society, youth sports have become professionalized. And from my perspective, there's the professionalization. There's very highly qualified high school coaches. There are personal trainers. There are training companies and organizations. There are traveling organizations. There are youth organizations. And all those things build, you know, to get kids the skills that they need to get ahead. My side of the business and the market that Rivals has tapped into is to have independent high school and college sites, 300 of them across the country, to look for the kids that come out of those training regimes and those high school, high school scores and stats, and to select out those kids and list them and make them available on a national basis. That's what's made Rivals successful, is college coaches knowing that if a kid has 4 stars or 5 stars from Rivals, they need all those things that I talked about for being able to play ball. So in a way, Rivals is one of the first national recruiting services that makes sure that a kid out in the sticks, out in the weeds, if he can play ball, gets a chance to play ball.
Cool. All right, so now let's move off, because in our conversation before we came on air, I think I wanted to establish that that you are at a very high level connected to this world of sport, and that there are some things that are going on, and you mentioned it earlier, is the professionalism
right.
of youth sports. You see it now with, and I'm sure it's bigger down in Texas where they always talk about they got the $5 million, you know, football stadium and all that kind of stuff. But in Minnesota, you know, we are coming to the point where we have a full-time strength coaches on staff at high schools. You know, I don't know if full-time teachers, you know, actually getting paid to just coach basketball, you know what I mean, or just coach football is going to happen soon. But talk to us a little bit about the professionalism versus just being kids. What do you think needs to take place? How does that balance need to take place?
Well, it's gotten to the point now where everything a kid does from third or fourth grade on seems to be structured.
Yes.
And that's good. You know, the kids that are the right size and the right shape and have the right skills are going to get the right training. And more good training is available in Minnesota. So I'll talk about basketball a little bit first. Minnesota, 10 or 12 years ago, was pretty much isolated as Minnesota basketball. If you look at Minnesota basketball now, we've probably got 20 to 25 teams at the 17 and under level playing on the national circuit. All summer long, if I want to talk to one of the top basketball players in Minnesota, I won't have much of a chance to, because they'll be in Las Vegas, they'll be in Indiana, they'll be in Kentucky, they'll be playing national basketball tournaments. And that's the place where coaches see our top kids. And that's the advantage of the professionalism and the growth of that kind of organization. As a other part of that organization are the feeder programs, the AAU programs. 10 years ago, there were just a few AAU programs. And kids would get lost because there weren't enough places to play. Now there are dozens of AAU programs. There are AAU programs that have come in from out of state. There are AAU programs that have grown tremendously, and there are AAU programs that are located geographically around the state, and they're all pooling and pulling in the best players from their region, and all those kids are out traveling on the national circuit. So for basketball, we're in a good position. Football, I think, is about 6 or 7 years behind. There are very few kids that are playing nationally, and there are more and more kids are getting professional help and training, but it doesn't compare at all to the organization and the sophistication that basketball has at this point.
That's an interesting observation because, you know, even, you know, with the trials and travails of our recent, you know, Gopher football coaches, you know, Minnesota, University of Minnesota Gopher football coaches, they do seem to even lose the few that were here were not staying in Minnesota. They were going to Notre Dame or going to Nebraska or going to Miami. Has that trend started to change, or is that still kind of the few outliers that do qualify to get into that top 150 or so do end up going outside of the state of Minnesota?
Well, with a national market, I'll talk about it that way, with the national market, with Division I coaches being the buyers and the kids that are most likely to help them win more games being the product, coaches are looking everywhere they can to find the best player. And they'll pull those players out. They'll find them. They'll get them. And the kids, since they're not just playing in Minnesota, since they're playing across the country, they get exposed to all these coaches and they talk to all these coaches and they get to know them and they realize, I could play at Alabama, you know, and kids that are at the top ranking want to play at the top schools where they're going to win. And when Minnesota gets to the point where they're winning, then they'll be able to tap not just the top players in Minnesota, but the top players across the country. You know, it's the same old story. If you're winning, if you're at the top, it's easy to get more resources and keep you there. If you're moving your way up, you've got to scratch and claw and actually probably coach and play better to get a better record so that you can bring in more talented players and actually make it easier to win and be more successful. So we'll see if Coach Kill has the ability to build. From everything I've heard, kids love him, parents love him, he's organized, he's structured. We seem to be going in that right direction.
Now, I'm going to have one more question around the recruiting game, and then I want to come back to more philosophical-type questions. But now let's go into – so we've talked about the top 150 in the nation, you know, these kind of – but that is – there is a large portion of kids that maybe could play Division I basketball or football. What are the things that they can do to either get into that list, or how do they go about getting noticed as well?
With everybody getting top training, it really comes down to if you aren't big enough, you aren't tall enough, you aren't fast enough, and you aren't trained well enough, you're not going to succeed at that higher level. So what you need to do is grow big, get strong, get the best training that's possible, and if you've got the size and the frame and the grades, you'll get seen. The network is there to be seen now. Below that, kids need to be the best that they can play at the next level. Minnesota only has one Division I basketball and football program. That's at the university. But we've got a ton of D2 programs. And there are lots of places there for kids to play. We have the MIAC schools, the Division III schools, the private schools in Minnesota, all have wonderful sports programs. And although they can't give scholarships, they have what are called financial aid packages. And colleges that are big and successful have endowments, and they can give grants and aids. If you've got decent grades, or if you're, you know, you have a specialty or a background of some kind, those financial aid packages can look pretty good. And when you're playing Division III basketball or Division III football, from the stands, it looks a lot like the same game to the parents. There's the same level of excitement and screaming and hollering and stuff on a smaller scale. The kids aren't quite as big. They aren't quite as fast. They aren't quite as agile. But it's still the game, and it still builds a community. And Minnesota has a wonderful Division II and Division III football and basketball community where a lot of kids can have an opportunity to play, and a lot of them do have an opportunity to play.
It's funny because go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one thing that's interesting is there are a bunch of kids that I've got to know over the last 10 or so years who have gotten Division I scholarships, gone and played Division I basketball for a year, Division I football for a year, decided that they didn't like it. They didn't like the pressure. They didn't like the fact that it was more like a business. And they came back to Minnesota and finished their career at a D3 school or at a D2 school where it was more fun. So,
yeah,
you know, the dream is to get to Division I. The goal is to get to the place where you're the happiest and the most successful.
It's kind of funny
those
because
two things don't always go together.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting because I was going to tell the same story that you just did. I went to St. Thomas coming out of high school in 1986, 87,
yep,
something like this. Tom Seary was the big running back out of the Minnesota, and he was going to take the U by storm and all this kind of stuff. And sure enough, 1 year later, he ended up back at St. Thomas and had a great career.
Yeah.
And it's funny how exactly that particular piece, and it's funny because I'm going to put a little plug in for Brian. Brian has always talked about that and making sure that the school is a good fit for the kids, not just because you're being recruited or you might be this or that. Is it a good fit for your kid? And I think that's a big piece to the puzzle. Nonetheless, all right, with that, we are going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk some serious philosophy with Michael related to mastery of sport and how do we develop creative, imaginative young athletes.